things are bad in my life. You think they're bad now. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Why, God? Why? Why? Blown and tossed by the wind. The key word that we look at as we look at this today, as we just read, is the word realize. He said, when you realize certain things, you're going to have a whole lot better handle on the problems, on the trials, and on the crisis. When you realize something, then it will allow you to walk through the crisis. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through the crisis. You're going to go through hell. It's a promise. You're going to go through hell. And that's why I'm calling this today a rock solid faith. A faith that works when other things just seem to implode around us. Now when James starts this book, he doesn't waste any time, and he immediately starts with a couple truths that he wants to tell the church, the scattered church that is sitting there shivering and quivering and like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Our lives is horrible. And we this faith in this Jesus person is causing us all this grief. And so the first truth that he teaches them is that troubles are inevitable, that troubles are going to come. Do not think that just because you're a Christian, you are not deserved any trouble. Do not think that just because you're a Jesus follower, you're not going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble no matter what. Troubles are inevitable. He doesn't say if trouble. He says when all kinds of troubles come into your life in verse 2. When they come, when they come, they're going to come, and it's going to be a doozy. Some people come to Jesus, and they think, if I give my life to him, it's going to be all good. Mom, dad aren't going to get divorced. Nobody's going to fall apart. Nobody's going to die. Bad things aren't going to happen to us. Well, you know that. If you've been alive for 5 seconds, you understand that's not the way it is. Problems are an elective course in life. They are a required course. They are inevitable. You will go through the fan. You will go right through it, and you will be chopped and diced and hurt and nicked. But God will go through that all with you. So troubles are inevitable. Number two, he says, troubles are variable. Variable, that's a word we don't use a lot. But what he means when he says they're variable, what's he mean by that? It's troubles come in all sizes. They come in all shapes. Little things can just knock us off our game. Have you noticed that? Doesn't have to be the big one. Doesn't have to be the cataclysmic thing. It's just little things packed on little thing. And pretty soon we're going, oh, that's a different, there's something different. I didn't ever think about that. He says, when all kinds, that's they're inevitable, and they're going to be all shapes and sizes. We could all shout out some of our troubles right now. Anybody got some troubles? Yeah, go. Don't do it, but. You all got some troubles. And this last week, it's knocked you off your game. It's knocked you off your game. This last month, this last year, I can stand up here and name you a whole bunch. Don't need to. Don't have to. Because I know, just like me, you're doing the same thing. You're going through the same troubles. So troubles are inevitable. Troubles are going to come. Troubles are variable. And then 30 says, troubles have a purpose. They're purposeful. They have a reason behind it, because the manufacturer who put us together has a purpose in your pain. That should be comforting to some of us today, because all of us want to know that. This thing that I'm going through, is there a reason? And what is he trying to teach me? Why do I have to go through this? That's the answer we all, we don't mind a little pain, but what we want to know is why? Why is he doing it? They all have a purpose. You got to keep that in mind, that every trouble that comes into your life, every battery that doesn't start, every tire that goes flat, every health problem that pops up, everything that pops, it's all got a reason and it has a purpose, and God wants to do something through that trouble. So it's time to stop cursing the trouble. Because some of you are cursing the trouble, and you're cursing the one that you think is allowing the trouble to come into your life. And the one who is allowing the trouble to come into your life says, there's an end game here, because I want to share something with you. I want to teach you something. James 1:3 says this. It says, realize that that these troubles come to produce. They come to do something, to draw something out of you, to make something happen in you that God wants to do in you through that trouble. James is saying God uses difficulties for good in our lives. Whew. James says these are the things that go on with that. But let me tell you, as he moves on, he says, what's the purpose? What is the purpose of problems? Well, number one, it's to test my faith. Jesus wants you to be able to test your faith. He's not testing your faith. He wants you to see what's going on. He says in 1:3, they come to test your faith. Faith is like a muscle, and it's the only way that a muscle grows is by testing, and it has to be stretched. I'm learning so much about this again, and I've been taught so much about this again in the last four weeks. Brenda got a surgery, and they opened up her leg with a robot. Mike knows about this. Several of you know about this. And they open it up, and this robot goes in there and just manipulates and stretches and pulls and does all kinds of weird stuff. And you don't want to watch YouTube, but I did. And you watch it, and you look at it, and then it's all sewed back up. And the minute they get it done, they stand you up, and you start walking again, which is amazing. It's amazing that happens. But the whole reason is to get that muscle to do what it's supposed to do. Troubles come, and what they do is it's taking that muscle that has got a problem, and it's strengthening that muscle so it can go on to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next hill and the next walk and the next one and on and on and on. The way your strength and your character grows is by having your faith tested. It has to be stretched. You have to be put weight on it. And the more weight you put on it, the more muscle you build. So some of you got a lot of muscle. And some of you are kind of pansies. Because you're going, ouch, oh, I don't want to put any weight on that. No, I don't know. I don't want to put nothing on that. Ow, that hurts. I don't want any pain. It's true. The way your strength and your character grows is by having your faith tested. So test my faith. And then James says, troubles develop my endurance. They allow me to go through the next thing. It builds up endurance and strength in me. I like that word, endurance. And it says, troubles develop endurance. I like that old English word, but there's another word called steadfastness. You ever heard that word, steadfastness? Yeah, I like that word a little bit better. It's perseverance. It's just going on. It's just moving forward. What is it? It's staying power. It's the power to move to the next thing. That's what it is. It's literally the ability to handle pressure, the ability to keep on hanging in there when other people say, nah. But I'm tired of this. I'm sick of this. I deserve this. Why me? Keep hanging on. How do you learn how to handle pressure? You know how you handle pressure and how to handle it? The only way is by keep going through it. By motoring on and keeping going forward. That's it. That's it. And this is a quality that is in short supply in our culture today, because our culture says, give up. Our culture says, go find another one. Our culture says, do something different. Take a medicine. Pop some more alcohol. Put that more, it'll help you. It'll make you feel better for a minute. And our culture is wrong. Our culture is teaching us things that do not bring steadfastness, that do not bring any kind of perseverance. They're telling us, just give in. Just get a new one, whatever it is. A friend of mine says, when you're going through hell, you know what you do? You keep walking. You just keep walking. You put one foot in front of the other. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. I'm not saying you don't have other friends going through that with you. I'm not saying that God isn't not going through it with you. I'm saying the only way you get through it is by continuing on in the path that you know that God has set you. And if you don't know that God has set you, you have a problem that you have to start that journey today. Because if you're here going, I don't even know what you're talking about. It's because you haven't given your life fully to Jesus. And because you're keeping back this part and this part. You know, I can have sex before marriage. I can do this. I can do this. And so you can't expect God to get fully on board with the manufacturer's warranty when you're taking the warranty and you're just throwing it out the window. And he's not doing what he asked me to do. He's not doing what he's not God. I don't even know if he exists. So they test our faith, they develop our endurance, and they mature our character. That's the third thing James says. They test my faith, they develop endurance, and they mature my character. Verse 4, he says this, but let the process, see, the process is maturity. It means that there's a start, and there's a place where you continue to move forward, not backwards. Forward, you mature, you get out of the babyhood where you start worrying about all the pain and you go, this pain is there because God is teaching me something. You get mature the more you go through the process. Wouldn't you like to be like that a little bit more, a little more mature? A lot of us, we move so quickly to get out of pain. And we forget to ask, what is it that God is doing through this pain? So how does God want us to respond to trouble? How does he want us to respond to the things that come into our life? What should be our response as Jesus people as we sit here and stand here this morning? James chapter 1 gives us the answers. He gives us the very radical, very counterculture perspective. Because it doesn't fit in culture. Anything that James says here goes against any kind of culture back then, and it goes against any kind of culture today. He says this. This is a tough one. Rejoice knowing that God can use your trouble. Rejoice knowing that God can use your trouble. That's the first thing to do. When you're in trouble, you rejoice. Now, stick with me. Don't turn out on this because a lot of you go, this is impossible, Jeff. Knowing that God can use it. If you can rejoice saying, I think God can use this. God can use anything that you give him, even the troubles that other people do and have brought on your life. If he's brought some boneheaded person and has hurt you in your life, he can still do something in your life. James 1:2 says this, my friends, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. Don't misunderstand that, though. He's not saying deny reality. He's not saying pretend that there's no problem. Oh, you know, my leg's not falling apart. No, my heart's not bad. No, oh, the truck didn't break down. The car didn't break down. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, here's when you should be joyful. It's when the trouble comes, you find a way to go through joy. And by the way, he's not saying to you, oh, boy, I get to suffer. That's great. I'm so glad for that. You're not meant to be a martyr. None of us are meant to be martyrs in that respect. We don't rejoice for the trouble, but we can rejoice during the trouble. During the trouble, we can find ways to praise God. During the trouble, we don't have to bellyache. I understand bellyaching. It gets rid of some things, and it's good for a minute. But continuously bellyaching and gritching and yelling and screaming and, oh, my life is this and, oh, my life is that. What does it do any good anywhere? We don't rejoice for the trouble, but rejoice during the trouble. Because what we know is true. What do we know is true? And we know that God sees and he cares about everything that we're going through. And he knows that we're never going to be alone. We know, have to know, that I'm never alone. No matter how empty my life seems, I'm never alone. The greatest comfort you can have, though, is when you're going through pain, when you're going through troubles. The greatest comfort is one of the verses in the Bible that you've heard 1,000 times, and we tend to gloss over it. Especially in times of trouble. Romans 8:28. We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love him. In everything God works for the good of those who love him. You're saying when you're in a tough time, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. You're not joyful that this bad thing happened. You have joy because of who made you. You have joy because you know what he's going to do in the end. You have joy knowing that he's going to take you through this. One way or the other, he's going to take you through it. He's saying when you're in a tough time of choice, you've got to find a way to give God what's his. So no matter what you're going through today, he knows, and you have to know, that he's going to do something for good through your pain. And then he says to the scattered church, and he says to us, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. I love that. He says, don't panic. Don't say sorry, but just relax. Relax a little bit and ask God, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Well, do we lack wisdom? Yes. Because this trouble seems to be overwhelming us. This trouble seems to be enveloping us. This trouble seems to be just taking over my life, and I can't think of anything else but this trouble. Because all I think about is this trouble. And I forget about who has the wisdom and the answer to my problem. And so I ask you, have you asked God in your trouble? Have you asked him? I tell you, the devil wants to use trouble for defeat. Listen to me. The devil wants to use troubles for defeat. But God wants to use trouble to develop you, to make you more like his son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the trouble. That's the purpose. That's what he's drawing out of that. That's how he's allowing us to even go through that. Because our question is always, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to happen? You shouldn't allow death. You shouldn't allow pain. That's not true. Because he has a purpose in it. He wants us to bring him back, to bring us back closer to him in a relationship. And also then James not only says ask God for wisdom, he says, rely on God and he will help. Because there's you got to ask, and then you got to rely on him. There's that second part, and don't miss this. Verse 8, James chapter 1, he says, but when you ask God for wisdom, you must sincerely believe. Listen, you must sincerely believe and expect him to answer without doubting him. You got to sincerely believe it. So if you ask, you better believe that he's going to answer you. Even if it takes weeks, even if it takes months, even if it takes years, he's going to answer. That's a lot of faith. Do you understand why we need faith? To sustain us, to keep us going, to keep us moving forward day after day after day. You've got to expect him to do what he says he's going to do. And so what I've just said is I've said these things. Rejoice, knowing that God will use problems and troubles in your life. Request God and ask him for wisdom. And thirdly, believe that he's going to help us. And then lastly, refuse to quit. Refuse to stop. Go into God's promises when you start really doubting and say, what did God promise? Well, God promised he would be there with me. God promised that he would go through with it with me. You can do all things through Christ. He promised after promise after promise. And then he says in James 1:12, happy are those who remain faithful under trials. That's a tough word. That's what God is calling the church to. The current church, the church to come, and the church that it will always be. He's saying, I'm calling you. that you're going to be happy as long as you understand you're going through trials. You have to be happy as you do it. Not for the trial, not that you're getting beat up, but you have to find joy in that, knowing that God is with you. The truth is, suffering is a part of all of our lives. You're going to suffer no matter what, whether you use it for your good or you use it or not at all. But it is for your benefit that God is allowing you to go through troubles, because he has something, a purpose in your pain. And so as we close, there's two questions. Two questions. Number one, will you ask God for help? And then number two, will you let God teach you some things from that? Will you allow him to do it? And both of those things take some time, because God doesn't always answer instantly. He is often silent. And so that brings in us patience and steadfastness and pain and holding on and doing the things that God has called us to do. The only things that really matter is those things. It's asking God, relying on him, and then seeing what he does. Let's pray. The band's going to come, and I'm going to talk to you right after that. Jesus, we come to you humbly today, just asking you to open our hearts and our spirits to you, that we open up our arms and our eyes and we focus on you, not on our pain. We give you our day. We give you our bad. We thank you for the good. We recognize and praise you for the way that you have put us together. And we come today to repent, to say we're sorry for the way that we've handled some troubles and where we just vomit and throw up on other people all the time and just say, but this is going on, this is going on, this is going on in my life. And we forget to tell other people about who you are. You forget to tell other people about your goodness and your grace and your forgiveness and your provision in our lives. God, I know there's some people in this room that this message was for. I don't know who they are, but I know you do. Sure hit me hard, God. And so I pray that you'll be with us. I pray that you'll see, that we'll see that you're there, that you're walking through everything we go through. And that, God, you have a plan and a purpose for each thing that we're going through. So, God, I just pray that these next few minutes, as we use this as a, we call our ministry time, that you would minister to us, that you'd minister to our hearts, that you would move in this place, this day, to do a work in us. Not anybody else, not the person beside us, not the person at home, but the person that is us. Do your work in us. We love you. Praise your name. And then I want to talk.